Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
The other thing that Silver wrote in his story on the team's website, he goes through, you know, the... After saying standing pat is the only option that's not on the table, meaning the quarterbacks that are currently on the roster are not among the possibilities for their starting quarterback for the next, hopefully, 5 to 10 years. He mentions, you know, the quarterbacks that you could trade for. He mentions the quarterbacks in the draft. And then he writes the following paragraph. He said, there are quarterbacks on NFL rosters with less star power than the aforementioned trio or possibly quartet, and he was referring to Rodgers, Wilson, Watson, and Carr, who could be acquired via trade. And then he writes, I won't mention specific names, but a former number one overall pick, that's probably Jared Goff, and a quarterback who's, or Jameis, well, Jameis Winston, that would be Jared Goff, and a quarterback who started for his team in a Super Bowl might fit the bill. That's probably Jimmy Garoppolo. Or free agency. And then he writes, among those who should be available on the free agent market, Jameis Winston and Mitchell Trubisky. I'm telling you, they, just like I told you, there were people in the organization that like Justin Fields. There are people in this organization that really think that Mitch Trubisky could be the guy. And I think the Winston thing is interesting because Winston does not fit the bill of what Rivera keeps referring to as one of the key things they'll be looking for, and that is mobility in a quarterback. And Trubisky does, of course. And I would, if Rodgers is a no, and I think he's a no, and Wilson and Watson are probably more likely than not paths they may try to travel but not land on, and Derek Carr stays in Vegas, I think the path is going to be Trubisky and a draft choice, you know, a first-round pick. Now, Keim apparently mentioned something on his podcast about, you know, Trubisky and a second-round pick. You know, I guess there could be quarterbacks in the second round, some of the quarterbacks that have been mentioned. You know, Sam Howell's really mobile, and Sam Howell may not go in the first round, although most of the projections have Howell going in the first round. They could go that route. By the way, I would just remind everybody again, if they were to sign Mitch Trubisky and they were to draft a quarterback either in the first or second round, it's very possible, if not likely, that Taylor Heineke's not on the roster next year. Heineke and Allen both. I mean, unless they're going to keep three quarterbacks. And, you know, I know that they like Kyle Allen in the room, as they call it, more than they even like Taylor Heineke in the room. They just like Taylor Heineke on the field more than they like Kyle Allen on the field because of the mobility. But if they end up with Trubisky and a second-round quarterback, by the way, that's not much of a splash in the offseason, but it is a definitive move in terms of what the plan is, because Trubisky would come in as the starting quarterback, and the young guy, if he's not ready to go, would be the backup. Or, by the way, it could be vice versa if the young guy's ready to go week one. But it would exclude the quarterbacks on the roster. I don't, unless you're going to keep three. All right. Several of you sent me the other night this video that was circulating on the internet, on Twitter anyway, with Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, and Matt LaFleur, all in Redskins garb, chatting it up before a game, I don't know, in 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, whenever it was, when they were all here together. As, hey, did you know? Did you know all three of these guys were here, Sheehan? I had no idea. I mean, I think this conversation, by the way, has just gotten so old. You know, the, do you know who we had? Of course we all know who we had. We're reminded of it now for 3 or 4 years running this time of year. This isn't new. Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay and Matt LaFleur have been pretty much, you know, regulars in the in this particular round. Now, Kyle wasn't there last year because of all the injuries. But they're leading three of the most successful programs in the NFC. And it's always a reminder of, look at what we could have had. Well, you wouldn't have had all of them, by the way. All right, you would have only had one of them. Just keep that in mind. You would have had Mike for a few more years, and then you probably would have had Kyle. You know, Kyle was really the one that eventually was going to take over for his father if everything had gone well. And Sean may have been on the staff for a while, and Matt may have been on the staff, and then if they had had success, then they would have moved on and gotten opportunities. Look, Cooley from day one, I mean, this was when Sean McVay was the tight ends coach here. Cooley said, there's a guy on the staff, his name's Sean McVay, he's the tight ends coach. He will be a head coach, and this was, I don't know what year it was, 2011, 2012, 20. Well, Cooley was still playing. When Cooley first got to the radio station, which was 2013, his first year on the radio station, he said, if this guy ever gets an interview to be a head coach, he'll get the job immediately because no one will interview better. And then when Sean became the offensive coordinator, Cooley said, personally, I think I would ask Jay to be the offensive coordinator and make Sean the head coach so that we don't lose Sean. And then he said, Sean, I don't care how old he is, he's going to get an interview for a head coaching job, and the first person that interviews him is going to hire him. And it turned out to be true. So maybe Sean would have just blown everybody away and they would have gone with Sean instead of Kyle. But more likely than not, they were only going to have one of them. All three of them weren't going to be sitting here in 2022 as coaches on the staff. So, no, this was not like something that I wasn't aware of. Of course I'm aware of this. We've been talking about this for years. So that's gotten a little bit old. We know that. But what can't ever get old is the reminder that when this owner makes mistakes, and they have been numerous over the years, we could do shows for the next week, 3 hours every morning, where we just take each hour and we say, all right, let's talk about five mistakes he's made. And we could just keep going for a week. But when he makes and errors in a big way, it's a big one. I mean, when he's wrong, he's loud wrong. And this is the problem moving forward. And this is what we should always remind ourselves of. And this is why, by the way, half or more than half of people that used to care about the team don't care about the team anymore. Because he continues to meddle and continues to meddle and get it wrong all the time. This dude never gets it right. He got it right one time, once, and it was Joe Gibbs. And it was the only time that, for the most part, he let things, you know, and he let the chief guy run things. Although he and Vinny were still behind the scenes, you know, creating the 2006 free agency and draft class, free agency and trade class, which included, you know, Brandon Lloyd and Adam Archuleta, et cetera, and letting Ryan Clark go, et cetera. And then ultimately, you know, trading a second and a third for TJ Duckett, and eventually for Jason Taylor, although that was, I think, with Jim Zorn here. But when this guy gets it wrong, man, he gets it wrong. Marty Schottenheimer, loud wrong. wasn't having any fun. Fred Drasner was upset that he lost his parking spot. Sorry, Marty, I know we gave you all the control. We got to take some of that control back. Marty said no. Good for Marty. Marty would have led a sustained winning run. They would have won divisions. They would have gone to the playoffs. They would have won 11, 12 games. But the owner was loud wrong. Would Marty have won a Super Bowl? Well, he didn't in Cleveland. He didn't in Kansas City. And when he went from Washington to San Diego, he didn't win a Super Bowl there either. But what Marty did everywhere he went was one and one big in terms of games won and getting to the playoffs. He won 14 games and 12 games in 5 years in San Diego. Loud wrong on Marty. Loud wrong clearly on the Zorn debacle, although I don't know if I necessarily fault him for that because ultimately he blamed it on Vinny, but whatever, he was the owner. But then the Shanahan debacle is really, after Marty, the second big, loud, wrong, massive mistake that the owner made. The owner picked a 24-year-old, self-absorbed quarterback over a borderline, in my opinion, a Hall of Fame coach in Mike Shanahan, and an all-star staff. He couldn't see it. He doesn't know anything about football, and he's unwilling to let football people make football decisions. He picked the quarterback. He had empowered the quarterback to go against the coaches. Mike Shanahan's told the story many times, all right, that the quarterback came in and the quarterback wanted more say with the owner's approval and the owner's empowerment. And ultimately, that decision has us kind of where we are now. Because you wouldn't have had all three of those guys. It's not the way it works. Okay, you know, you wouldn't have had Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan, and Sean McVay all as head coaches. Mike would have coached for a couple more years. He would have turned it over to Kyle. And I know what Mike's record was. You don't need to remind me of it. Okay, I know what it was. But they would have finally had the quarterback. And by the way, I think they would have made a run at really trying to turn Robert into more of what Robert wanted to be. Not exclusively, but if he had allowed them to do it. The problem was Robert was always going to be fragile. He was always going to be fragile from a physical standpoint. He had a breakable body. He was very injury prone. But they would have had a long run with Kirk Cousins as the starting quarterback. And they would have gone to the playoffs and they would have won. You know, they would have been a legitimate competitive team in the NFC. Would they have been a Super Bowl team? I have no idea. Probably not. But Kyle took Jimmy Garoppolo to a Super Bowl. All right, Sean took Jared Goff to a Super Bowl. Matt LaFleur's had the benefit of obviously having Aaron Rodgers. And then, you know, more recently, for those of us that really believe that over the last 10 years when Bruce was here, that Dan was less involved, which I do think is true, but he wasn't absent. Witness Dwayne Haskins' draft night. You just have to, on these occasions, not like try to break news that, oh, did you know these three coaches were here? We all know that. But it's just another reminder of just how big this guy blows it. When he blows it. I mean, it is sabotaging, self-sabotaging when he misses and when he makes a mistake and when he inserts himself. And, you know, it's a combination, obviously, of ego, of arrogance, of overcompensating for whatever he's overcompensating for. It's the worst combination in business and in people. The combination of not knowing what you're doing with ego, arrogance, and then in his case, this overcompensating. It's been the single biggest reason that this franchise has been the laughingstock of the league now for 22 years. And I know they were losing before that with Norv and with Charlie and the new era of free agency. There wasn't a lot of winning between 93 and 99 either. We've documented that many times, too. We'll talk some NFL playoffs. I also wanted to respond to something that I had mentioned last weekend about the Dallas rivalry. that several of you continue to reach out to me, upset with what I had said on the show Monday and what I tweeted out over the weekend about the Dallas-Washington rivalry. I'll get to that. We'll get to the NFL playoffs. Ben Standing's going to join us at 8. We got a smell test on the show today. Lots coming up on the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app. BetMGM welcomes you with a special offer on the Pro Football Playoffs. Can't wait for these games this weekend. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any game. If either team scores a touchdown, you'll win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use bonus code KevinS200 when you make your first bet. That's KevinS200 when you make that first bet on BetMGM. Enjoy the playoffs like never before and earn M Life rewards that you can use for rooms and dining at any MGM resort nationwide. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use my bonus code KevinS200 to win $200 in free bets if either team scores a touchdown in a Pro Football Playoff game. That's going to happen. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. D.C. and Virginia only. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as cash or non-withdrawable free bets. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Meatloaf, the singer, that is, passed away last night, 74 years old. I was not necessarily a huge Meatloaf fan, necessarily. But I bring it up because last night my wife made meatloaf for me. She was so sweet. And for the others that were in the home. It's one of my favorite meals. And she makes a great meatloaf. So there you go. Rest in peace, Meatloaf. So several of you continue to find the tweet that I sent out over last weekend and really hammer me over it, which is fine. I don't really care. It was a tweet that I sent out right before the Cowboy 49er game. And it was one in which I really felt in the moment. I was like, it was one of those where I was like, you know, I mean, Brendan, you know, I don't tweet a whole hell of a lot unless it's like promoting the show. I'm not one of those that tweets out that I had meatloaf last night. I'll talk about that on the radio show, but it's not that I tweeted it out last night. Anyway, before the game started against the 49ers, I tweeted out, and I'm looking for it now. Here it is. The Washington football fan mantra of rooting for anybody versus the Cowboys seems outdated to me. And I mean, hundreds of you responded, and most of it, I would say 75% of it, was very negative. It was like, what are you talking about? I'll never lose the anybody but Dallas. They're our arch rival. That's part of my DNA. This is what I do. You know, it's rooting for Washington and rooting for anybody that's playing the Cowboys. Okay, I'm not knocking you for it. To me, it feels different. And it's felt different for a while now, for a few years for sure. I did get a little juiced before the regular season matchup with the Cowboys this year. But let's just, you know, let's understand a couple of things. For those of you, or many of you, that are very much like, no, Sheehan, that is still a big deal. No. If you're a Washington football fan, even a dying Washington football fan in terms of your passion, you still root against the Cowboys. That's part of being a Washington football fan. When the Cowboys are playing, you're rooting for anybody that's playing them. Well, I don't feel that way anymore. So I'm just being perfectly honest with you. The passion isn't there to root against the Cowboys. In fact, last Sunday, I kind of wanted Kyle to win, but I also bet the Cowboys, so I was kind of rooting for the Cowboys, lost that bet. But there was no feeling like if the Cowboys win this game, oh, I used to hate that. I I admit, I hated when they won, especially when Washington was bad. But I was also one of those people that if Washington was going to be good, like I wanted the Cowboys to be good simultaneously because I wanted those games to be big again. And there have been very few and far between over the last 30 years where they've played meaningful football games. The most meaningful game I think they've had was the season ender in 2012, which, you know, was the last RG3 win and the last time that maybe for at least a brief moment things were all well, although they really weren't well the minute that RG3 got hurt against Baltimore and Cousins came in and beat Cleveland without running one read option play. That was really the beginning of the end. But anyway, I digress. Back to this. It's like, you know, I was thinking about this. I just focus on your team. Like, if you were really invested in the Cowboys losing last Sunday, understand that the only GD reason the stadium fills up is because Cowboy fans fill it up. They beat us 56-14 3 weeks ago. That rivalry doesn't mean anything to anybody anymore like it used to. There are few left that really are invested in that rivalry. 24,000 Washington football fans was about the average for every one of their home games this year. How did I get to that? Well, it's back of the envelope, guessing. I'll concede that. But you had basically an average actual attendance of 40,000 people at the games this year. You had 51 paid attendance, but about 40,000 on average were actually in the stadium. Pathetic. Dead last. And of those 40,000, I'm being generous in saying 60% of them were rooting for Washington. 24,000 people showing up at the stadium for these 8 home games for the home team to win. And for those of you that were there consistently, have at it rooting against anybody or rooting for anybody that's playing against the Cowboys. For most of you, though, who didn't go to any of those games that are saying, oh, Sheehan, you're way out of line here, man. You're way out of line. This anybody but the Cowboys will never leave me. And yet, you don't go to games. You barely watch games. The only way we can fill the damn stadium is with Cowboy fans. It's the only time it was filled, or even close to filled. And by the way, it wasn't filled that day either. But 75% of the people there, minimum, were rooting for the Cowboys. And this team beat you 56-14. Focus on your own team. Focus on rooting on your own team. It is outdated. Now, I think the rest of the league, and I think the Cowboys in general, I mean, fans of teams throughout the NFL, you know, root against the Cowboys. The Cowboys are the most polarizing team in the NFL. I guess you could make the case for the Patriots, but really, the Cowboys have always been the most polarizing team in the NFL. They're America's team, and you've got Cowboy fans everywhere. They're mostly bandwagon jumpers outside of the market. You know, they also root for the Yankees. They also root for Duke. They were also rooting for, you know, the Spurs for many years and the Bulls before that and the Lakers, you know, recently, or at least, you know, during the summer of COVID. I'm speaking for myself, but I'm also speaking to those of you who think it's a big deal and you barely even pay attention to your own team. All right. Let's get to some NFL playoff talk, Brendan, because these are 4 really good games this weekend on paper. I hope this weekend, you know, provides one of those weekends where we come in here on Monday and say, man, the NFL, it never disappoints. Because it did disappoint last weekend in Super Wildcard weekend. I mean, you had 4 blowout games. You had 2 games that were competitive, but those 2 games that were competitive, it wasn't like they were great games. You know, the Vegas-Cincinnati game and the Dallas-San Francisco game. The Dallas-San Francisco game was certainly dramatic. And I did see, by the way, the other day, Mike McCarthy suggesting that his team was nervous before the game, Brendan. Did you see this? He said, I think we were nervous, and it really hurt the start of the game. And then somebody came back and said, well, why do you think they were nervous? And then he backtracked a little bit and said maybe it was just more anxiety. Well,
Not just nervous during the pregame prayer.
Right.
How would you ever know people are nervous during a pregame prayer?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think, you know, coaches can get a sense of their team. By the way, I would suggest to you that Mike McCarthy was nervous too. Like, if he's going to call out his own team for being nervous, and let me just say this real quickly. I think on some level, you know, in this season-ending press conference, you know, using the word nervous and then backtracking and calling it anxious, or, you know, they were, you know, anxious for the game or whatever. I'm not going to hang him on the words that he used, but there's no doubt that he had this sense, because I think he probably felt the same way, that they were tight. We talked about this a week ago today, that the team facing the most pressure last weekend were the Cowboys. Like, it wasn't close. I thought the player facing the most pressure was Matt Stafford, but I also felt like, in addition to the Cowboys feeling a lot of pressure, that Dak Prescott was probably feeling some pressure as well. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on the Cowboys in general, especially if they're having a season and then they get a chance to play games that could move them forward to getting back to where they think they deserve to be. But I do think a coach understands, look, anybody that's ever coached at any level kind of has a sense for their team. You know, if you've been around them, you know, are they nervous? You know, what do they look like? Are they loose? Whatever. And I did feel, by the way, watching that game, that they were tight. I felt earlier that day that the Eagles and Jalen Hurts in particular were playing very nervous and tight. And, you know, you kind of get that sense, but the Cowboys have so much talent, and there are lots of coaches in this league that would love to have that roster. But if you don't have the right makeup in terms of guys who are, you know, stone cold killers in the biggest spots, it doesn't matter about the talent. And I think, you know, he revealed something about kind of the nature of his team. You know, they got some badasses on that team. Micah Parsons is a badass. I think Randy Gregory is an undisciplined player, but my God, he can make plays. And I don't think Trayvon Diggs strikes me as a player that would get tight. But Dak does strike me as a player that might be tight. You know, perhaps some of the receivers may have been. And I think the head coach reeks of a guy that can be overly tight in that spot. You know, what a benefit to have two guys who have never been tight in their entire lives, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, as your quarterback, who are actually playing the games. The players have to do it. But I bet you Mike McCarthy was pretty tight before that game, too. And I still think, even though as we sit here, you know, 5 days after their loss, I still think he's in trouble. I don't think the story's been written on Mike McCarthy and what will happen in Dallas here over the next week or two. Anyway, back to the four games. Which of these four games could produce a result that would actually surprise you? Because we talked about the other day, you know, which of these teams being in the Super Bowl would be a surprise. And I said none of them would be a shock to me. Brendan mentioned Cincinnati, Tennessee, and San Francisco as three teams that if they were in the Super Bowl would really surprise him. I said none of the teams would shock me, but I would be probably most surprised if the Rams were in the Super Bowl. They're the team out of the eight this weekend that, for whatever reason, I just don't think they're all there. Like, I know they pummeled Arizona on Monday night, but I thought that had as much to do with Arizona as it did the Rams, and I probably shouldn't feel that way because the Rams dominated the line of scrimmage. They ran the football. They totally shut down Arizona, and they do have major ballers on defense in particular, you know, with Aaron Donald and, by the way, Von Miller all of a sudden playing like Von Miller again, and Jalen Ramsey, et cetera, et cetera. And they got some players on offense too, you know, clearly. But there's just something about that team. more than any other that, for me, if they ended up in the Super Bowl or winning the Super Bowl, would be a surprise. I wouldn't be displeased by it because I'm rooting for Sean and Kyle in particular. I mean, Sean maybe a little bit more because I knew Sean better. I didn't really know Kyle. Kyle was a little bit, I think we've mentioned this before, Kyle was definitely a little bit aloof. Or, you know, Kyle felt himself, you know, as an OC. You know, and I think also there was a lot of pushback from Kyle when he was here against the nepotism claim or narrative that a lot of people in the media made a big deal out of, and a lot of people in the fan base. I remember having these arguments with, you know, Zabe and Tony and others who would say he's only here. I'm like, no. This dude can scheme it. He's good. Look at what he did with in Houston with Matt Schaub. He's not here because he's the coach's son, although that's why he's here specifically, but there are plenty of places that would have him. But anyway, Kyle, I think, always had a little bit of backed into the corner, pushback, and he was very confident, a very confident dude. Sean was much more relatable. And anybody that ever spent more than 2 minutes with Sean liked Sean and totally understood what a great communicator and why he ended up getting the first job he interviewed for. I just don't have a good feel for their team right now. So at 301-230-0980, give me of these four games the result that would surprise you the most. For me, it would be the Rams beating Tampa. I think Tampa is going to win this game. So that would be the result that would surprise me the most. Brendan will give you his answer when we come back. I want your answers right now on our BetQL listener lines, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Which result, what result in any of these four games would surprise you the most? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
All right, what result this weekend would surprise you the most? We have four really tight matchups. So it may be that no result would surprise you. I mean, right now, Tennessee's a 3.5-point favorite in the first game tomorrow. Tomorrow night, cold weather at Lambeau. No snow, but 7 degrees at kickoff. The Packers are 5.5-point favorites over San Francisco. Tampa, 2.5-point favorite in the Sunday 3 p.m. game. And in the finale, the Chiefs are now just 1.5, Brendan, over Buffalo. This is, as I mentioned earlier in the week, this is the closest aggregate point spreads we've seen in this round in like 12 years. It's been a long time since we haven't had a team that was at least a 7-point favorite. In most cases, you get at least one game with a team that's a 9, 10, or bigger favorite. All of these games, essentially based on the odds-making lines, people, you know, Vegas is telling you that there is no result that would surprise them this weekend. For me, I just, even though I think the Rams are really good on defense and, you know, Tampa's banged up. And by the way, tell me real quickly, Brendan, who's going to play for them and who isn't? Is Wirfs going to play?
I don't think we know yet.
What about Fournette?
He hasn't been activated off IR, but the assumption was he would after he tweeted out, "See you Sunday." So,
okay. I guess if I had to say one result would surprise me, the Rams going into Tampa and winning, I think, would be a bit of a surprise to me, but not a big one. Is there any result this weekend that would surprise you?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if the 49ers won. I know everybody loves Kyle Shanahan, but he's got the worst quarterback in the playoffs left, and it's not really close. Even Ryan Tannehill is steps above him on the QB ladder. I would be surprised if the 49ers won because the Packers are getting healthy. They're getting everybody back. Bakhtiari's back. Jair Alexander's back.
Well, Jair Alexander's been back, right?
He was out in the regular season at the end. So it was expected that he'd be back, but he's back.
I thought he came back for the final two games. Go ahead. Okay, yeah. Fine.
So they are completely healthy.
Where are we on Bosa? Where are we on Garoppolo?
Everybody practiced yesterday.
Everybody practiced yesterday. Okay. Yeah. What about Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati? Just out of curiosity. I was out of it yesterday. Didn't follow all the.
I haven't seen an update on Hendrickson.
Okay. But Bosa's on track to play.
He was at practice. Mm-hmm. Whether or not he practiced in full, I don't know. I probably should have looked that up. But
okay. Well, that's a big one.
Yeah. In some respects, yes. But in others, I mean, the Packers are a better team. They earned the number one seed all season by being a very good team that was beat up or had COVID issues. I would be surprised if the 49ers won, mostly because Aaron Rodgers is supposed to be the MVP. I know it's not as simple as a QB matchup. I know there are other things going on. But if the MVP loses to Jimmy Garoppolo, I would be shocked. Yes.
Look, I Green Bay is the better team. I think they're going to win the Super Bowl, personally. But last year, with Aaron Donald not right, that was a big determinant in that game. That was a 24-17 game. It was a 7-point game in the fourth quarter against the Rams with Jared Goff at quarterback. And by the way, without a team that can run the ball like San Francisco. So Bosa is, I think, a massive difference maker. I think Aaron Donald, a healthy Aaron Donald last year, would have been a difference maker. By the way, if Green Bay loses in this round or if they don't make it back to the Super Bowl, you know, we talked about the teams facing the most pressure heading into this weekend. I actually think the most pressure for any team is on the Packers now. I think Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, if we were to say which team has the most pressure on it this weekend, I think it's the Packers. Who else would be close? The Packers are the number one seed as they were last year. They didn't make it. They lost to Tampa in the NFC title game at home. Kansas City didn't have any pressure on them. Buffalo doesn't really have any pressure. I mean, they're playing at KC, you know, at Arrowhead. Tampa's the defending champion. The Rams don't have pressure. Cincinnati and Tennessee are kind of playing, you know, carefree here. The Packers have the most pressure on them this weekend. Agree or disagree?
I agree, but I also think Tennessee has a bunch of pressure on them to live up to that number one ranking.
I mean, is Derrick Henry in or out?
Apparently he's going to be back. I'm looking at SportsCenter right now, and they said Derrick Henry returns.
All right. Let's add that to it as well, and I say everybody on hold. Give me the result that would most surprise you this weekend, and then give me the team that you think is under the most pressure this weekend. Last weekend we identified the Cowboys, which I think was a no-brainer. I think it's the Packers that have the most pressure on them this weekend. Let's start with Skip. Skip, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin.
Skip, what's up?
First of all, yeah, I agree with you. This might be one of the best NFL playoff weekends in years.
Going in, just yeah.
For sure. And the games and the quarterbacks involved and everything. First of all, let me say just quickly about why I was rooting against the Cowboys so strongly. It has nothing to do with the rivalry and the football team, which I agree with you. I'm out on the organization, and I don't go to any games anymore. It's the same reason why you don't like Philadelphia fans. It's the Dallas Cowboys fans.
I know.
They're insufferable.
But you know,
I just want to see the expression
on
their face.
Skip. I want to hear Skip's predictions, but I just want to interject this because I had a long conversation with Cowboy Clay the other day, who, by the way, had knee replacement surgery. Clay, get better. Clay, by the way, made the big mistake of trying to come off painkillers without tapering off them. That's a big mistake. Follow your doctor's orders. God, Clay is so uncoachable. But anyway, you know, the funny thing about their fans and our fans, we've all kind of been through the same thing. Now, they've had much more success. You know, they've won 12 games, 13 games, you know, and they've actually, but they haven't won many playoff games, and they haven't been to the playoffs a whole lot, but it's all about the owner. You know, they've been disillusioned too. Like the hardcore longtime Cowboy fans feel in many ways like we do. But yes, they can be insufferable, like Philly fans can be. So go ahead. What's the game that would surprise you or the result that would surprise you the most this weekend? And who's under the most pressure?
I have to agree that it's the Packers losing, and for the reasons why you stated, because I do understand that the 49ers can win by running the ball against the Packers, which are a little shaky on their defensive line as far as stopping the run. But I just think if Aaron Rodgers loses this game, and I'm putting it on him, I just can't I that would be a shock to me, just because of all the hype and everything that goes into this season for him and the fact they've lost the last two NFC championship games. It would just be a big blow to the whole Packer nation and a shock to the NFL if they lose this game. But I can see it happening, though.
Thanks for the call. Good to hear your voice. I mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers, as we know, has been to one Super Bowl, and he's won it. He won that Super Bowl in Dallas against Pittsburgh, 31-25. What a week that was. An ice storm early in the week. You couldn't even get around Dallas. If he were to lose on Sunday, his playoff record would be 12-10. You know, it wouldn't be Peyton Manning, although Manning ended up with essentially a 500 playoff record, I think, somewhere around there. But it's approaching that territory. And, you know, if they were to lose in this round in particular, there would be a lot of negative Aaron Rodgers conversation about not being able to get it done in the postseason. It wouldn't change my view of Aaron Rodgers. He's borderline, all-time top four, top five, top six quarterback. Let's go to Caleb. Caleb, what result would shock you the most, and which team's under the most pressure? Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing this morning?
Oh, well.
The team, to me, that I would be surprised if would win would probably be the Bengals. Joe Burrow is amazing. Ja'Marr Chase is amazing. That duo combo is going to be lethal for years. The only question about the Bengals is that O-line, and I feel like, you know, if they pull it out with the Titans' defense, their defensive front is pretty solid. But Derrick Henry, you know, running through the Bengals' defense, I'm not sure if they can, you know, handle all that. That's a lot to overcome. If they can get a few stops and score on the Titans, then I feel like they have a chance, but I'm not sure. The team with the most pressure, I agree. I think it's Rodgers. If he doesn't win, it's – people will question him, but like you said, he's probably the second most talented QB that we've seen. I think Mahomes is more talented than him, but as far as, you know, Rodgers' legacy is still, he's still Aaron Rodgers. If he loses this game, nothing's going to change my mind about who he is. It's still Aaron Rodgers, but he has pressure too.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. By the way, Aaron Rodgers as a starter in the postseason is 0-3 against the 49ers. He lost that Colin Kaepernick game, remember, back in the 2012-2013 season when Kaepernick had, you know, 170 yards on the ground, something like that, in a 44-31 game. He lost to the 49ers the following year at home, in the divisional round, I think 23-20, and they got blown out, remember, 2 years ago in the NFC Championship game against the 49ers out in Santa Clara. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. The result that would surprise you the most this weekend and the team with the most pressure. Let's go to Joe. Joe, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hi, Kevin. Can you hear me?
I got you, Joe.
All right, cool. Thanks for taking my call. I guess, big fan of the show. I guess, like we've been saying all season, my answer to your two questions is, would anything surprise me? Actually, nothing would surprise me. As you said, and we've seen, it's a week-to-week league. Anything can happen. In terms of the most pressure, I would say it's the Rams with the quarterback that they paid for, who actually got his first playoff win last week, Stafford. And then I'm going to hang up real quick, but I just want a question for you. It's really... just curious. I'm an alumni of Penn State, like your kid. I was just wondering if he's a basketball fan for them or Maryland. I'm guessing Terp,
Maryland,
which I understand.
Maryland.
Yep, thanks for taking. They're not embarrassing this year, which is good.
Oh, they're
thanks
they're
for
good.
Taking my call.
They're decent.
I don't know if they're good. They're not as good as when they had Stevens, but yeah. I like that coach. I like the coach.
By the way, where is
thanks
Stevens
for taking my
playing?
Call.
Who is Stevens playing for? The Cavs? Is it Cleveland? Lamar Stevens, Brendan? Is that where he is? I always loved I thought he was a pro right from the jump. And I think he gets time. I think it's Cleveland. Anyway. Brendan, you there?
Yeah, I'm looking it up. Okay. He gets 15 minutes a game in Cleveland.
It is Cleveland. Okay. Yeah, my son who's at Penn State roots for Maryland basketball. More than Penn State basketball. Let's go to Don. Don, give me the result this weekend that would surprise you the most and which team is under the most pressure. Go ahead.
I feel like – oh, good morning, by the way, and thanks for taking my call. I feel like it has to be the Packers with the last few years that they've lost in the NFC Championship. To lose in a divisional round is clearly regression. So I think now that Aaron Rodgers is, you know, just getting older in his career, he knows his legacy's on the line. And if he wants to be mentioned with the greats, he needs a – I don't see a possibility in which he loses. I mean, it's the NFL. It's any given Sunday or Saturday or whatever you want to call it. But I just feel like he has way too much to lose to a lesser quarterback with a more complete team this year. I think the Packers are more complete than they've ever been in a long time.
Yeah, he's already lost to Garoppolo once in the postseason, and the game wasn't even close. That NFC Championship game, remember, Brendan, 2 years ago, wasn't it like 30-0 at halftime or something like that? Like, it was a beatdown. The Packers could not do anything offensively. And Bosa, if I recall, was an absolute menace in that game. But that was that 49er defense was awesome that year. Let's sneak another call in here real quickly. Let's go to Toothpick, go ahead, man. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Kev. I appreciate it. I would be surprised if Cincinnati wins. You know, I think that Tennessee is going to try to take the air out of the ball, run with King Henry, and if Joe Burrow gets on the field and comes down a last-minute drive, I think it would be sensational. The team with the most pressure is, without a doubt, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They have the GOAT. And with the GOAT, you know, Antonio Brown and all the injuries and things like that, to lose to the Rams right now, I think that's just pressure, man, because, you know, we say quarterback play erases everything, all of the mistakes. They can overcome everything. But, I mean, then you got the winningest Super Bowl quarterback in history, and if they lose, that's where the pressure is. So I'll listen and
I just don't see that because they won the Super Bowl last year, winning three games on the road, and then beating the team that was favored to win the Super Bowl. And I and they've got all those injuries, as you mentioned. You know, they've kind of limped into this thing. So I don't see the pressure there. Also, Toothpick, you're the second person that's mentioned that the result that would surprise you the most is Cincinnati. I think of the four games. The two AFC games are the results in either one of those two games would be the least surprising compared to the two NFC games. I just think that Cincinnati has a legit shot to go in there and win. I mean, you know, we've got six high level elite quarterbacks in this postseason, if you consider Burrow to be there, and I if he's there right now or not is really immaterial. He's going to be in that conversation. But with Brady and Allen and Mahomes and Rodgers already there, and knowing how they got there, I mean, if you believe that it's a quarterback and it's a throwing league, then being surprised that Cincinnati goes into Nashville and beats Tennessee, to me, would be not surprising at all. So I'm kind of surprised that anybody chose Cincinnati as the surprise winner. Maybe it's just the fact that of these teams this year, this is the team with the least amount of playoff experience. I mean, they're the only team that hasn't been in this round of these teams here recently with these coaches and quarterbacks. Although Matt Stafford's never been in this round. All right, Ben Standig will join us next. Smell test next hour. We'll get back to more discussion about the four games as well. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.